On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Week in Nevada. John Potter, Candy Green. Hi, folks. Final hour, 775-884-9910. It's open topic for now until our next guest comes on in. You never really know what's up my sleeve. This morning, it's a dryer sheet.
Would that be in the dryer? Okay. Yeah. Just checking that out. Okay. Oh, there we go. That's. Have you taken it out?
Oh my gosh, we have a doorbell here.
We do have a doorbell. Maybe the person doesn't know that they're just supposed to blunt on in.
You want to let them in?
Yeah, I'm going to go let them in. Okay. Oh, I'm the girl. I get to go in through the door.
Do you want me to do it?
No, it's okay. Honestly, I'm going to go do the girl
thing. Oh my gosh, this is like married life at home.
It's true.
Here's good or bad news. NASA says it spotted a record-breaking large comet headed nearer to Earth. Its icy nucleus is bigger than any ever seen, measuring about 80 miles across. This comet is heading to the middle of our solar system, but will miss us.
How do you know?
That's what NASA says.
Do we trust NASA?
Well, you know, remember that big asteroid that came close to Earth? I think it was April 1st. Mm-hmm. By the way, folks, when that was heading here, I masked up just to be safe.
Okay. I'm going to put that joke with the dryer sheet.
I'm surprised people didn't make that asteroid political. Not my asteroid. My asteroid. My choice. There will be another asteroid in the future, and it's amazing to me that even with our technology that we have today, and the fact that the movie Armageddon showed us all how this could happen in 1998, to this day, we can't knock off course medium to large size asteroids heading our way.
Do we know that?
Bruce Willis was warning us.
Yes, but how do we know we can't do that? Do you really think NASA tells us the truth? I'm just saying.
Oh, that's right. They are a government agency.
That. Look at all these weird satellites that are up there that we're always reading about that we're like, well, how'd that get up there? Just saying. We don't know.
Hi, Leah. How are you doing?
We're going to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk to Leah.
That's because she's under 40 and that's what people do is they text under 40, right? Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just saying.
We're going to talk to Leah next segment. Today on Unsolved Mysteries, how I got a 30-day ban on Facebook for posting something that I originally found on Facebook.
Did you really
True
get a
story.
Ban?
Yes, I did.
Are you banned now?
On this other Facebook page that I use look at like TV and radio. Here's what happened.
John, that's not against the community. That's against the community rules.
They sent me, this is what they posted. This post, my post, goes against our community standards on human exploitation. Now, here's what happened. I belong on this other, hey, take care, Lynn. I belong to this classic TV equipment group. Believe it or not, there's a group that is all about old TV equipment, old black and white TV equipment on Facebook. And I posted something about the old cathode ray tubes.
Well, that's sexy. Just saying. I'm gonna hang with you guys.
The cathode ray TV tubes, which have always been known as CRTs.
Okay.
And I finally figured out it's because they ban posts about the other CRT, which is critical race theory.
So you got a double whammy?
I got one whammy, 30-day suspension. I'm not sure, though, they don't tell you why. They just say the post violated community standards, and I was talking about the old cathode ray tubes, and that's a CRT.
You normally get a pop-up that tells you this is going to, you know, like not be the right thing to post.
No, I didn't get that.
Well, then they have.
But it's either this critical race theory thing or they have a bias against bulky television sets.
Well, I think they just have an algorithm or whatever they call it that looks for that thing, you know, like CRT. And if they see a CRT, they do it.
Even the cathode ray tube has been dragged into today's ridiculous politics.
Well, just so you know, nobody knows what that is.
Yes, clearly we do need to get cathode ray tubes out of schools.
Just saying. I'm just saying. I think I see why. Have you appealed it?
To who?
You just you,
there's
said,
no
you
button.
An,
listen.
Yes, there is a button.
Have you ever tried to call somebody at Facebook?
No,
there's no way to find the customer service. There is no customer service
yes,
number
is.
At Facebook.
There's a place that you can just click and say what happened. Look, you know this.
I went through this with my KTVN John Potter Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You have to submit a picture of your driver's license and it's immediately turned down. And there's nobody to talk to at Facebook. This was my problem with Apple. Same situation. There's no customer service.
Who were you talking to at Apple?
Well, okay,
and why?
Before you say that, give me the customer service phone number to Facebook.
I didn't say there was a customer service.
There's that proves my point.
No, there's a little button that you click on Facebook, and it's a little.
It doesn't do anything.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, I just had it take care of something for another client.
No.
Works like a charm.
And there was another time Facebook removed an Onion article. You know, the spoof parody news?
Yeah. The Onion?
The Onions. Okay, so somebody posted...
No, the Onion, not Onion.
Onion. Somebody posted a parody article from Onion on Facebook, and they took it down saying that you shared misinformation.
That's
what the Onion is!
If anyone from Facebook is listening, or Mark Zuckerberg...
There's nobody at Facebook!
I'm sorry,
that's my point!
I would like to go on record.
It's all run by computers and algorithms.
John may be ranting. However, I love Facebook, and I think you're fabulous.
I do, too, but there's nobody there.
There are all sorts of people there.
This is an age of no customer service, and that's just the beginning of
it. We're going to give John a trip to Cupertino and get to meet all the nice people that work down there.
And at Facebook, too many folks just don't have the patience for comedy, it seems.
Or maybe they just don't get you, John. Just saying, okay?
Why do you take their side?
I'm not taking their side. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, just saying, you gotta look at your initials.
And they are the enemies of free speech. And that is the example that they deemed it not being community standards.
So now, then go to Twitter. You've got Elon Musk over there owning it now.
Okay, he doesn't own a large portion of it.
So he'll let you tweet.
We have to. Now, here's the serious part. We have to have free speech. If we don't have free speech, we have nothing. Because if one group is in control and they're in power long enough, it doesn't matter which group it is, we're going to have a police state. When it's not acceptable to have an opposing view, when those people are not just disagreed with, but marginalized and canceled, we're going to end up with a totalitarian state because that's the way human nature works. Example, was the presidential election stolen? The New York Post broke the story of Hunter Biden's laptop. 2 weeks before the election, Twitter shut them down, actually banished one of the top five newspapers in the country from Twitter. And how much did we hear about it in our local TV stations? Nothing. That is flat out suppression.
Well, I also think Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are not pure news. They're also socialized. Like I get to see the cake that you bake. So if we're starting to use those as our news outlets, then I think we're in trouble. I mean,
as free speech.
Yes, but you've just done your free speech moment, but you also can't have people on there posting things that are untrue. I mean, I want to go back to
say it's untrue.
Oh, I want to go back to Facebook where it was all about, hi, this is the cake I baked. And this is the fun I'm having out, having drinks with my girlfriend.
But they all cater to that one general accepted opinion.
Well,
and if they want to project themselves as an outlet for expression, which is what Facebook is, they're interfering with that free speech.
Okay, but John, name me a media source that doesn't do that.
That's right. You're right.
There you go.
You're right. We agree.
See, look,
all right,
John
shake hands. We agree.
Yeah. Honestly,
well,
John and I agree a lot more than you think.
Now, this place, there is free speech.
Yes.
And our phone lines are open for that. 775-884-99.
Free speech with us.
John Potter and Candy Green, this is Weekend Nevada at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Ninety-nine point one, 92.3 is FM Talk.
There is a house in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
That's called
On the Rising Sun.
Don't turn your radios off just yet.
Oh, COVID water.
John Potter and Candy Green. Well, that's what the person on, we have people on the phones, but that's what somebody on the phone wants to talk about here. So we're going to go to, I'm sorry, Jay Biggs. I missed her first name. Let's go to the phones. Paula. Hi, Paula. Good morning. Welcome
Hello.
To Week in Nevada. Hi.
Well, thank you. So it's good to hear you back on the air, John. And I recognize you, Candy. But so regarding the
wastewater. That's scary, Paula.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, that story we did about the COVID found in the wastewater.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is an easy one. All right. So you can go to your computer and in your search bar put in wastewater COVID test and then the name of any city and state. And I originally
it is national.
Interesting. 400 cities is what I heard originally.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in, because that's really interesting.
Real easy to do. Now, notice when the information, they'll say that they've published the date as really early in 2020. So apparently they've been doing this. And I believe that now they're speaking to it because in response to a independently made documentary, well-researched. You can go to Rumble and just search Watch the Water. And
okay.
That's what they're speaking to now. They're trying to counter this documentary. And, you know, there's other news. There's other news. I mean, for people who live with their faces in their computers and their phones, unfortunately, most of it all has been censored off of YouTube, and these people have all had to go to their own private websites. There's brilliant people out there who are independently researching what's really going on in the world, and I mean the world, and it's I find it extremely trustworthy because.
Okay, Paula, thank you so much for calling.
Keep listening, Paula. Call again.
Mark, let's move on to you, and we really appreciate your phone calls, folks. 884-9910. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to admit that I'm a recovering Californian. Now I can finally breathe in this state. I'm so happy to be here. My neighbors burned down my house, my Trump sign. No, seriously. So glad to be here.
Is anybody hearing him? Because I'm not.
No, I'm not either. Mark, if that's a cordless or something, if there's another way. Oh.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I would say the conversation about Twitter and Facebook is different than other media companies for two reasons. Number one, Twitter has become the de facto digital town square. So all the other media companies are using that to disseminate information that they publish and read other people's information. So, for example, if Twitter removes the New York Post, their voice is now absent the entire media community. If Twitter removes the 45th president of the United States, no one can hear what he has to say. Now, free speech is not about protecting what you like. It's about protecting what you don't like. And so to not have the New York Post visible in the 2 weeks leading up to the election clearly influenced the election, because millions of people were not aware of the Hunter Biden
story,
which was, it's a legitimate
story. Yes, as
story.
I mentioned,
so,
But yes, and Twitter has a responsibility if they're going to be a free, if they're going to be a community sounding board, as it were. There should be not that kind of censorship, especially it's following a one opinion world.
Well, that's true, so but kind of at the same time.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I just was going to add, it's kind of like, I'm not a fan of NV Energy, but they're the only game in town, and I have to buy my power from NV Energy unless I'm going to be off the grid. So NV Energy, because of that 100% monopoly they have, is regulated as a utility. And I think the whole conversation about regulating these social media companies as utilities is absolutely right, because as you were discussing earlier, if you turn off, if you turn off the ability for voices to be heard or cancel them, you're putting a thumb on the scale. And then on top of that, the other argument they make is, oh, we're a platform and we're not making editorial decisions. Well, by removing select people, you're making an editorial decision. So that's kind of my point.
Good ones, Mark. Thank you.
Keep calling in, Mark. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
listening.
Talk to us next Saturday. Well-read person over there. What news sources? And he brought that up. I go by the Wall Street Journal and the Epoch Times. What about you?
I like Washington Post. Sorry. And Wall Street Journal. Yeah.
Wall Street Journal is the most even-handed newspaper there is, and so much good things to read.
It's business. So let's introduce.
Well, it's not all business.
Well, I agree.
That's the best thing. You're
let's
right.
Let's introduce our guests before we go to the break.
All right. Before we do, hang in there, Leah. We're going to get to you. Let's
say hi to Leah. Tell them what Leah, and then Leah can help us talk on the radio. I mean, introduce
let's
her.
Take the
okay,
call.
We'll take Sean.
Sean, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Nevada. Good morning.
Thank you. John, I'm calling to tell you your co-host needs to go back to school. Needs to reread the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It doesn't say anywhere.
I'll tell her that.
Anyone's opinion matters a bit. I don't care.
All right. Thank you, sir.
That's the way it is. We can say whatever we want, and nobody's feelings matter.
She's a decent, good-hearted person.
No, Sean can attack me all he likes. That's
thanks,
why
Sean. Appreciate
radio.
The call. In the studio, what a show this is.
No,
oh, my goodness.
I love that.
I don't
Potter's
need coffee
defending
today.
Me. Potter's defending me. I love it.
Of
no,
of course
come on.
I'm going to defend you.
I know you are. You and I are dear friends. But the bottom line is more Sean's need to call in. We love that.
Leah Grace is a longtime local. Her family ran the bowling alley on Green Bray in Sparks. What was the name of that?
It was called Green Bray Lane.
That was a tough one for
Luckily,
me.
Luckily, we cracked ourselves up.
I remember your bowling alley. We would play three games there, the best two out of three, you know, and then head to Shakey's for pizza or Skipper's on Adi.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot Skipper's.
Or Flaky Jake's on Prater in the old days. Those were great old days. I have more years in Sparks than I do in Reno.
Nice.
And good times. We love Sparks. So you are so Sparks.
I am. I'm a fifth generation Sparks Nevadan.
Why did the bowling alley close?
Well, unfortunately, my uncle Mickey passed away, and he was the one that owned it. And so he did a lot of good philanthropy for all autistic kids because he had an autistic child, and so he was really known in the community for that.
That's lovely. Yeah, I miss that. I miss everything that has closed. But
yeah.
we have you on the show because we want to do an early pitch. Of what you're raising funds.
Yes, so I am raising money. So I'm a fifth generation Sparks Nevada, and my entire family went to Sparks High School. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good or bad, that's where we all went. And so now that I'm an adult, I want to be able to give back. I was able to go to college, and I got to do that because I was given scholarships. And so that was the only way. My parents didn't go to college. My dad was a truck driver. My mom was a florist. And so... But I want to be able to give that to those students. They lost a lot of money during the pandemic. A lot of scholarships failed. And so I'm trying.
Did they? Really?
Yeah. So a lot of businesses closed as well. And so those businesses that closed then had to pull out their scholarship money. And And so I'm just trying to fill the gap now in a way that I can. So I'm asking the community to donate anything they can, $10, $20, whatever you can donate. It's called Dreamers of Today, and I'll tell you why. So when I was 15 years old, I followed a blog called Reno Sparks, Where Dreams Come to Die. And I thought that was true because my parents didn't go to college. I didn't know anyone that, you know, was successful. It felt like dreams were dying, were all around me. And so the only way I was able to get out, like I said, was scholarship money. And so now my dreams came true. I'm an epidemiologist. I was in the Peace Corps. I got to travel. I was a Senate page. I've got to do a lot of things.
We can talk about that. Well, I tell you, we got a break for Fox News. We're going to talk about your great cause. It is so heartwarming to have somebody who graduated from a high school and go back to that high school and try to help them out instead of leaving the high school behind.
Right, and then we'll do
I salute
teaser.
You. Yeah.
We're going to she knows she will talk about John McCain too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in your time in the medical field.
Yeah.
Folks, Sparks people, call in 884-9910. We're going to break for Fox News right now on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Yeah. How's it going, friends? Week in Nevada, John Potter, Candy Green. Phone number 884-9910. We have a half hour to go, and our guest this time, Leah Grace. We're talking Sparks Memories, okay? Sparks Memories here. And she also worked in the medical field during COVID. Where were you there?
Well, so I was working as an epidemiologist, and I was working with the tribal nations in Montana.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was working with maybe 8 or 9 tribes.
What a life you've had. And you worked with John Kerry?
Yeah. Well, it was John Kerry when I was a Senate page.
You were a Senate page?
Yeah.
Listen to this.
I always wanted to be a page.
Oh, it was so fun.
Was it
I wish everyone could do it. It was the I had unlimited access to the Capitol.
Yeah.
And I found all the hidden bathrooms and a hidden bathtub. And I just got to see everybody behind the scenes, which was the best part of it.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Give us some congressional gossip.
Oh, okay. So, well.
She's going to do it.
Well, okay. So I'll just tell some funny stories.
Okay, funny story.
So one funny story involves me, and this one's very embarrassing, but it's hilarious because I was in, you know, the Democratic caucus.
Yeah.
So they have it, and every single senator from the Democratic caucus is there because I was sponsored by Senator Reid as a Senate page, but I was also a congressional page for Jim Gibbons before that, and so I'm kind of in the middle. If you know Jim Gibbons, he's a Republican,
yes,
and Harry Reid's a Democrat.
Right.
So I'm a moderate, I like to say, or nonpartisan. And so when I was there, I was eating at the Democratic caucus, and we're like the pages sit in the back because we get to watch. Like two of us get to watch. And so I'm sitting there and somebody says something funny and I'm eating like macaroni lobster, which is like the most amazing meal I get while I'm there. And I'm drinking a soda and I start laughing and then I start laughing and I start foaming from the nose and I start puking and I start pissing my pants. And there's a room full of senators around me and Senator Murray from Washington comes up to me and she has to say, "Are you okay?" And I have to leave the Capitol because I've just like wrecked myself.
I bet they still talk about you.
I bet they do. It was like an exorcism in the back of the room.
It was probably the macaroni lobster girl.
I was so excited.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't get this ever. So.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah, tell me about what's John Kerry like? And you met Hillary Clinton, too.
Yeah, so the memory I have of John Kerry is that he's in the cloakroom. So the cloakroom is like where you go back and you talk about, you deliberate about votes and you get on the phone to your staffers if you need to. And it's like where you go for, like the Republicans have one, a cloakroom, and the Democrats have a cloakroom. It's like your little area where you go and you talk to each other.
So your coat isn't in it.
What was that?
Your cloakroom. Your coat isn't in it.
No, your coat isn't in it. It's like back in the day when they used to smoke cigars and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he was in there and he had his feet on these leather couches. And I was just like, astounded that, and he's just like twisting himself in this chair and like treating this room like it was his private room. And I was just like sitting there watching him, and like he asked me to get him a Coke.
So you revere John McCain?
I do, yeah.
Why?
Well, for one, when I saw him as a Senate page, he was very nice to me, and he always talked to Senate pages. And then I also read his book. And I always revered him for being a prisoner of war. And I thought that service to his country and that dedication really meant something. And also just the way that he was a maverick in terms of he was a bipartisan Republican. He was a moderate.
John liked to reach across the aisle.
Yes.
Yeah, he was one. He was one.
Oh,
that
you
wanted,
met him too?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was lucky enough to meet him a couple of times. He was a lovely, lovely gentleman.
Now, you, Candy, met Hillary Clinton, and
I
it did not go well? Or?
I met her at a cocktail party in Denver, and she was not a nice person. Her husband,
surprise,
though, is
surprise.
Charming.
I do love Bill Clinton. I don't know really about Hillary Clinton.
He remembers people. He must have like a photographic memory or something, because he'll remember who you are and what your name is. And he may not have seen you for like 6 years.
Well, and so, I also love him because he supports the Peace Corps, which is my form of service that I gave for my country.
So how long were you in the Peace Corps?
I was in the Peace Corps for a little over 2 years in Botswana, Africa.
Oh, wow. We
Great
talked...
experience?
It was. It was definitely hard, though, because I was the only white non-foreigner in the country, or foreigner in my village.
Really?
Yeah, for 2 years, and
didn't
I didn't have running
team
water.
You up with others?
No.
Really?
So they put you in a community so that you can pass skills, but also so that you can integrate. So if you're with somebody, they think that you'll have a harder time integrating into their culture because you have your culture there.
Did you feel safe?
I did, actually. So Renaka, my village, I had a very good chief. He made me his honorary sister. And so some people actually tried to come to my house and jump the fence. And he told everybody in the village that he would shoot them if they did that again. Wow. And so, like, the Peace Corps, they were actually very surprised. They were like, we've never seen anyone integrate like you have.
You are quite a woman. And do you credit Sparks High School for leading you on this productive path in life?
You know what? I actually really credit my mom. But my mom is a Sparks High. She's a veteran of Sparks High. And she has just a go-getter attitude where she's like, I don't see any boundaries. Like, at least that's how she told me to live. She's like, I don't want you to think that there are any limitations to what you can do. And she made it that way. Like, I grew up as a figure skater. And I was a competitive figure skater for 9 years. And it's because she supported me and, you know, financially and emotionally. And she was there for me.
Wow. And now, so Sparks High, is that the one that Councilman Abbott supports?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He does a lot for Sparks
yes,
High,
Yes, he
too.
Does. Well, he does a lot for Sparks in general and yeah. Sparks High. And so he also has a scholarship where he's doing it with his class. Mm-hmm. So the class of, I think, 2008 is also putting on a scholarship, and so they're doing really good work too.
Wow, that's kind of scary, John, just that year in general, 2008.
I don't know where you found the time, Leah, and you look so young. But because of the pandemic, you say many scholarships at Sparks High School were not able to be funded, and Sparks High is, and maybe always has been, an under-resourced, underserved, and underfunded school. The stepsister to Reno High, maybe.
Yes, it really
is. I mean, that's
is.
How we looked at Sparks in 1976. So you started this Dreamers of Today scholarship fund. Well, now that we grab people's hearts about it, how can they donate?
So I do have a website. The website is dreamersoftodaynv.com, and you can go to the donation page, and you can write a check the old-fashioned way. You can show up to Sparks High School if you want, and you can find out more on the donation page, or you can go to the PayPal and donate via link.
Folks, do you have memories of going to Sparks High? I mean, really, what was Sparks High like when you were there?
So when I was there, I got into fights. And
I cannot see you doing that.
I know.
That sounds like a Candy Green story.
It's so true.
It was very much you want to go outside. lifestyle that I was living, just because like people would look at me and think like, I can take advantage of this girl. She's like a little girl.
Boy, they'd want to talk to you outside? And
no, what? I would want to talk to them outside.
Oh my gosh, I would never see that. Like, can we?
You would
Danny?
Be good for management at a TV station.
Oh,
that
okay.
sounds
very...
gosh,
that sounds just like. Anyway, let's go to Danny on the phone. 884-9910. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show. Are you from Sparks?
No, I'm actually from Reno, but I have businesses in Sparks, and so I'm curious about the scholarship. Like, maybe I missed it when I was dialing in, but who's it going to target? Like, who's the scholarship going for? Like, who are we trying to help? I hear Sparks High, but like any student that's Sparks High for any kind of education, trade, like, what are we talking about?
Okay. Yeah, Danny, turn up your radio. We'll get Leah to answer that specifically. Thank you so much for the call, Leah.
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So this scholarship is specifically for a female student who is a well-rounded leader of our community. So that means she's involved in athletics, leadership, and she has a grade of 3.5 or over. And she is somebody who is considered a leader at the school.
Okay, let's, phone lines open, 884-9910, number to call right now. You wouldn't be called the school bully, would you?
No, not at all. I mean, more so the defender of the innocent, I would say. I was more so of like a social rights and justice leader. We had to wear ID cards, and the administration was very biased against who they would target about looking at their ID cards, and it was usually people that were of color. And so I, at our graduation ceremony, took off the badge and I threw it into the crowd and I said, and good riddance. And they took away the badges after that.
Oh, way to go. I didn't know you had badges. See, I don't pay attention to schools anymore.
Because, well, this was back in the day. So this was like 15 years ago.
What was your back in the day? 15 years
ago? Yeah, for me.
My back in the day goes like 40 or 50. Yeah.
Oh, you're so lucky, though. That's a lot of experience.
It's so true. Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I had something really weird happen to me yesterday. Somebody said to me, you know, 30 years ago, and my mind instantly went to, yes, the 1970s. But he was talking 1992.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
What the heck?
Oh, my gosh.
But in my mind, when somebody says 30 years ago, I think
I do the same thing. For me, even, it's the 30 years ago is the 70s.
By the way, my wife calls me Quantum Leap because I always talk about the past.
Oh, I might start to call you Quantum just for fun.
Okay. Phone number is 884-9910. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with Leah. And we're talking Sparks, old and new. Leah Grace from Sparks, whole family from Sparks, ran the bowling alley and everything in Sparks and has done so much with her life. 884-9910. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
So three conspiracy theorists walk into a bar. You can't tell me that's a coincidence. This is Weekend of...
Sean. Oh.
How much longer are you going to put up with me?
I'll put up with you forever. You and I have known each other how many years? It's just scary. More than 40? No, I'm kidding.
Longtime Nevadans, that's what we are. Yeah. Weekend Nevada. 884-9910 is our phone number, our special guest. And we're talking nothing but Sparks on this one. Leah Grace. And before we go, you had much more to say. I just can't believe how much you fit into one life. And this medical career, did you stick with it?
Well, so I'm currently an epidemiologist, and so I wouldn't say I'm a medical professional. Yeah, so I'm not a doctor. An epidemiologist is a disease detective. And so what I do is I analyze data from hospitals or clinics, and I get their rates of infection for different things like morbidity, mortality, injury.
You're way over my head on all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I give the rates, the statistical rates, basically.
So you were born in Sparks. You still live in Sparks. It sounds like you refuse to leave Sparks.
Well,
but we were talking during the break, and she's like me. I spend most of my time in Sparks. When the Clear Acre Apartments first opened around 1976, I was one of the first tenants. Up there on Clear Acre to the right. Now they're condos.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful that you could walk out to the ledge and see the best view in the city. Well, now there are houses on that ledge.
Right.
And I lived at Wedekind and McCarran. And I'll tell you what, I don't like going to South Reno. Leah's the same way. We have everything we need right there on North McCarran and around that area.
Well,
and don't roll your eyes at me.
Gosh knows, you have a Winco. I love a Winco.
But you know what? It's the best Winco.
I know.
It's so much better than the one in South Reno.
They have the best sushi up there. I
can just
stay there and eat sushi all day.
Let's go to the phones. We have a call from, we have Jane, who's calling Carson City at 884-9910. Jane, welcome to Weekend Nevada. Are you there, Jane? Okay, Jay, I'm not hearing her.
We're having a technical moment.
Won't be the first.
There you go. Won't be the last. Hey, while we're having this technical moment, I have to do a shout out. Remember, I want to remind all of our listeners, politicians, to give us a call, schedule more interviews with us. Just call the station.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Well, let's, until they get the phone figured out here. Leah, what were we talking about?
You guys were talking about Wedekind Road, Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
We were talking about the sushi at Winco, which is really
Boy,
good.
We just ramble on, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I can eat that sushi all day.
Well, actually, I'm curious. What do you think about the new development in Sparks?
Which one?
You mean downtown?
Downtown, Old Sparks, yeah.
I like Old Sparks. I really do. Walk from the marina to Victorian all the time. I thought you were talking like Wingfield Springs, and I lived in Wingfield Springs for an hour.
So you're talking about Jay Witt's development.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Wingfield Springs, and I had to give it up. It was a beautiful home, but that drive.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Vista. I gave up on Vista. So I started taking Sparks Boulevard. And it backs up at, what street is it? Starts with a B. Baring.
Oh,
that's right.
Baring.
It backs up at Baring around the clock.
It does.
It just got longer and longer for that trip. And it's going to get longer still because they're going to build further out into down
Spanish
Vista.
Springs, yeah.
And
they're way out
worse.
There, too.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're even talking about widening Sparks Boulevard or Vista. And if they're not talking about it, it'll take 13 years to build it. Same story with 580 North or 395 North.
Well, look at downtown Sparks, though, where the new apartment complexes and everything are. They are pulling up that little water park or whatever it was to put a thoroughfare through there. So I guess it alleviates traffic. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I keep going on the show that I want to open a bodega down there. I think I would sell more onions and butter and bread than you could think about, because that way you could just walk to my bodega, because I like the development of it, but I don't know how much I love the look of it.
Well, and I think what you're saying is like, there's no community.
Right.
The bodega would be a community aspect to it.
Yeah. And people don't look at, like, you know, when you bring up bodega, you always immediately think like New York. That is the community, but you draw a community from it. Just saying.
You know, for all that we say about it, and believe me, I bore people to death talking about old Reno when I was here in 76. I think 76 to 81 was just a magical time because this was such a Western town where people wore cowboy hats and they cruised down Virginia. And there was live music playing through every doorway in downtown Reno, and people dressed up and you could have a drink on the street. You know, I bore people to death with that kind of talk. But those days are gone. They're not coming back. And if you don't like it now, you'll probably hate it in the future with all the new development.
Yeah. And so for me, as a fifth generation, I also think that you have to grow into loving where this is going. Or if you don't like where it's going, go to the council and have a say.
And also this, do we have a plan, though? Sometimes I ask myself that. What's the plan? Which we say we do, but do we? We've got a caller.
Yeah, let's go to Larry. Larry, you're on with Weekend Nevada. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you were talking about development and Sparks, and we have a development issue not only in Sparks but in Washoe County and in Reno. I think that the public really needs to understand that according to the Regional Planning Commission, we have enough subdivisions and units approved yet unbuilt or unstarted to last us for the next 30 years. Yet the developers continue to bring in these huge projects, and they get the moniker of ghost developments because they keep going back to the county commission and the city councils and asking for permission to extend their development time. And so
okay, so
really
Larry,
don't...
that would be my question. How can we make them build the developments that we've approved?
Well, we're going to have to start replacing the people on the city councils that continually roll over for the developers in favor of development to give them these extensions. We have some developments that have been out there and got extensions that were originally approved 20 years ago, not only in Sparks, but county. And it's all on the website at the Regional Planning Agency's website. You can look for those developments. You can go to the counties and the cities' websites. I believe there's one coming up in the county that was approved in 2007, and they're asking for another 4 or 5 year extension for it. So they continue to give
good information, Larry. Okay. I'm sorry, we're running to the end of the show. Thank you so much for making the call. Really something to
call
think
again.
About there. Yeah, call again next Saturday when we're on 9 to noon. Leah, it's been such a pleasure. You are a fascinating woman.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure myself.
It's like, what's she going to do next?
Well,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, definitely come back and talk to us again.
Yeah,
I love talking Sparks.
Yeah,
I loved it too. It was a great day today.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you as well.
All right. Friends, well, join us again next Saturday, would you? And spread the word about us.
Yeah, and visit our Facebook page, Weekend Nevada. And John's putting up all of our guests that are going to be on. And next week we have some fun stuff coming up, too.
All right. Facebook, John Potter. Yeah, I always post who's up on Friday.